Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful to be with you on this September 19th day, 2020. We're going to be looking at this whole idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? Something called happiness. And we're going to see what that actually means. I have some wonderful questions that were put to me. And I am grateful for all of you who, you know, take the time to write me. I really am very, very grateful for that. A lot of people just listen to other people's questions and never have the courage to write a question out, I'm sure. But I get some really wonderful, what I call doozies, and I am humbly grateful. If you ever want to make a question or offer one for the world, and you don't have to use your name if you don't want to, or even your where you live, you can write me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, aspire.org. Let's take a look at the word happy. The pursuit of happiness. Government plays a big role in people's lives. They think that government is the end all of everything, and that they determine the quality of a person's life. And that is simply not true, but we like to think that because we don't take very good care of ourselves. We don't take care of our minds. We don't take care of our attitudes. We don't take care of anything, really. We just want to use our life as a way to get through. And one of the amazing things to me about people is they don't question how they got here, why they're here, and what's going on in their life, and why that all takes place. They don't question it. They're not even curious about it. They just think they're here and then they die. It's, you know, born, live, turn to black and gone. And I guess that's good enough for a lot of people, but there are those of us who want to know a little bit more about the significance of living. Anyway, one of these things that make people live is the pursuit of their happiness. And what does that mean? What are we talking about, the pursuit of their happiness? If you look up the word happy in the dictionary, it means feeling or showing pleasure or contentment, having a sense of confidence in or satisfaction with an agreement or a situation. Happy seems like a kind of a word that's up for definition based on who you are. It's a matter of preference. It's a matter of bias. It's a matter of speculation. What makes me happy might not make you happy. And then there is this pursuit of happiness. And if my pursuit gets in the way of your happiness or blocks your happiness or makes your happiness difficult or impossible, how can I be happy? Knowing I hurt you to get what I wanted. Well, a lot of people think that's just the American way. That's the capitalistic system. That's democracy. And that's what they believe. And I am always astonished at how people interpret their life through the ideas and ideals of politics and government. So let's take a look at what this whole thing is about happiness. The questions I've gotten in the last, three or four weeks have all been about the pursuit of happiness. First one comes from Lori. She does not tell me where she lives. Greg, what do you mean that we should give up happy in order to, as you call it, awaken? She doesn't tell me where she lives. Lori, most of the mischief that we do in our lives, from me to you, from everyone in this world, Our mischief is done out of the pursuit of happiness. Something we are looking to gain, to have. We pursue it in many different ways. We pursue it through money, objects, people, things. Our happiness is typically based on pleasuring the human body and making it feel comfortable, not being in pain. And then, of course, then there's the happiness that touches our emotional cords, our bias, our prejudices, our genetic nature. And we are pleasuring constantly the human senses and the human body. The psychology of us is connected to that human body and those senses. So everything we do is a matter of trying to pursue some kind of mental, emotional gratification. And that's really all it is. I mean, what makes me happy? My Cocker Spaniel makes me very happy. Really, she does. Simple things like that. But when you're younger and chemicals are running in you, testosterone and the estrogen thing and all of the dopamines and serotonins in the brain, when all of that is going on, our perception of happy is a lot different. I remember when I was a kid, happy was a malted milk, you know, and some French fries. That was it. You give me that and I was really happy. Or playing with my friends, making a fort, things like that. Now those things are gone, of course. And you have to look at it and I have to see for myself, what is this thing that I called happy? And what am I constantly pleasuring? What am I constantly seeking to make me happy? Now, this is a very big deal. This is should not be taken lightly. I mean, when you really, really, really look at it, all we are doing is trying to calm the animal down, that is, in my case, the Gregory, the animal. And he is an animal. He thinks like an animal. He has impulses like an animal. We all do. The animal wants security. The animal wants ease, comfort, convenience, doesn't want to work too hard, doesn't want to, have anybody get in the way of what he wants and blah, 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 blah. And you start to look at all of this inside you and the genesis of all of this, which is the organs, the chemistry of the human brain and body. You start to look at all of that and you go, really? Really? I mean, I'm just pleasuring this animal. What about what lies deeper? Isn't there something more? What is the makeup of me? What is the me of me? What is that? When I start a counseling session with my students, I always start off with, where are you with you? And they just hate that. I don't know what that means. 20 years of counseling with them and asking them that question and me explaining to them what that means. They don't like it because they've spent all their time from the time they saw me last to the time they see me again just wrestling with their human nature, with their human body, doing what the carcass wanted. The mind thinks it knows what the carcass wants, the meat suit, as I call it. It thinks it knows, oh, if we have a bigger couch or a lazy boy recliner, if we have a bigger TV, if we watch better programs, if we do this, we do that, if we eat this, we eat that, and a lot of it in people, not my students, well, some of my students maybe, but the majority of people outside my realm, alcohol and marijuana are very important substances. I mean, very important. They are the ultimate pursuit of happiness because drinking and getting high, as they call it, is what makes the human body comfortable and eases the psychology. But what we don't seem to see, Lori, is that the things we do to make our bodies feel comfortable and happy are the things that are detriments not only to the health of that body for a great deal of our life, but also making it impossible to find out why we're here, who we are, what this is all about. We just don't care about all that. We think, oh, well, you know, death will come and that'll be the end of it. And who cares what I was or, but it all matters. I am a teacher of consequence, Lori. And I teach, you know, for everything that we do, whether we're conscious of it or unconscious of it, there is a consequence for what we do. And though people don't want to think that, they want to think it's all the pursuit of happiness, they are wrong and they just miss. So there you are. There's my answer. What do you mean that we should give up happy? The more you seek happiness, the less you will understand awareness. The more you seek happiness in the biological sense, and psychological sense, in the emotional sense, the less available you're going to be for the things that are truly important. You will lose your gravitas for life. Your salt will have lost its savor, as Jesus put it, and you will miss this whole thing again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Something for you maybe to think about or not. Most people do not have the mental acuity to understand what I just said. They just don't have it. They have lost it to entertainment, to desire, ambition, and our good old friend, pride. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, some of these questions, in fact, all of them, there's no way to answer them without hurting people's feelings, emotions, without insulting them. There just is no way. Now, I could sit here and lie to you like most people would, but I won't. So I can only give to you out of my own experience and my own spiritual practice. And that's where all of this comes from. It doesn't come from books or things I've learned. It comes from understanding what I've been through and what you've been through in your life. And if you have that kind of gravitas in you and that kind of depth, you'll be able to appreciate these answers better. The next question comes from Lauren. Lauren does not tell me where he or she lives. Why did God, not Jesus, make us happy? I'm not even sure I understand the question, but I chose it because it's intriguing to me. Why did God, not Jesus, make us happy? Jesus didn't make you happy? Really? You ever listen to his teachings? They are simply outrageous in social context. Outrageous. Unless you hate your father, your mother, you know. He that is first shall be last, the last shall be first. Oh man, this guy, he said some really, really interesting things in my opinion, but a lot of people don't hear them. I know longtime Christians who, when I quote these things to them, are confused and befuddled because they never knew that Jesus said anything like that. Just the Beatitudes. I have never met a Christian that understood the Beatitudes. Not one. And I've met quite a few in my day. They just don't get it. So why did God, not Jesus, make us happy? I'm assuming what you mean is this. Why didn't God just make us happy and not bestow that upon Jesus? That's the only way I can understand this question due to my mental limits. But happy is not what this is all about, and God didn't do anything. I mean, your anthropomorphic ideal of God here is very interesting to me, Lauren. It really is. Like, there's this dude guy wherever he lives, and he has a purpose and a reason for everything that he bestows upon people. Tragedies and death and sorrow and suffering and, you know, long, you know, all that stuff that people like to think make up the meaning of a person's life. None of that is true. It's all assumption. And it's based on the idea of manipulating you. And people know that they can manipulate other human beings through guilt and shame. It's easy. The masses, as Hitler said, are asses. They can be manipulated easily through many, many emotional means. And no one will question it, and no one will say it's bad or wrong or whatever. It's just the way people are. So, Lauren, as long as you think there is that type of God in your life, you're going to be mystified by a lot of the things that happen in this world and in your life. And I could not possibly change your assumptions. It just isn't in my power to do that. Anyone who is fairly awake cannot awaken a person who is deeply asleep. It just can't be done. You have to go through whatever you're going to need to go through in the course of this lifetime, over and over and over again. You're going to have to go through trials and tribulations, and they're not going to be because God did this to you. They're going to be there because you and I ran ignorant in this world, bullheaded, willful, and had our own ideas about what God is, what life is, and we've applied them and made them seem logical and reasonable to our mental acuity. And that's as far as we've gone. We haven't done anything more than that. We just assume we know. People like to assume they understand and know based on and predicated on their genetic dispositions. And that's all it's about. The apple really does not fall far from the tree. And if you understand all of that, then you understand you're functioning under false pretense and nothing is going to seem meaningful to you if it doesn't mesh with what you can process through your thinking. And that's just the way it is. I can't say any more about that for you, except this is the way it is. Whatever it is you can think, whatever it is that is your function of putting together logic and reasoning to come up with conclusions, is going to be awry and amiss. So here's the thing that you need to consider. There's something more important trying to happen to you than you can imagine. That thing that's trying to happen to you that you cannot understand goes beyond the idea of happy and sad, mad and glad. It is called love. And should you at any place in the course of your lifetime choose to be a part of that love, that beauty, then something of the other shore will be there to help you understand the meaning and the significance of life itself. There is a goodness in you. There is a truth in you. There is the way, the truth, and the light that lives within you. And should you be interested ever in that and willing to put down what you call your happiness and the meaning of your life, you will find that something beautiful is trying to happen to you. Something amazing is trying to happen to you. And it lives within you. It has always been there. And it had nothing to do with your body, with your beliefs, with whatever it is your convictions were around your body and all of that, you will realize it is love. I hope that helps you. I hope you can grasp that. The greatest pursuit in this lifetime is not for happiness, but for love. Authentic love. We'd have to give up our dualistic thinking for all of that, but that is the way, the truth, and the light. And if we're not willing to surrender all of that, we got nothing here, babe. May that serve you well. Thank you, Lauren, and please forgive me. Namaste. Last one is from Cheryl. Again, no tell me where live. I'm happy with what I have, but I'd sure like more, Cheryl. And then she asked me in her email how she might get the more. If you were as interested in love as you are in the more that you think will get you love or get you happiness, you would be awakened by now. And the problem with most of us is we don't get it. We don't want to get it. We don't understand it. It doesn't comprehend in our brain. If you run spiritual truth, if you run the process of spiritual awakening through the mind, through the body, you will never do it. You will misunderstand it. And you will be lost. And that's what most people are. They're lost. Because they run everything through logic and reasoning and what they think of as right and wrong, as good and bad. They miss the whole shebang. I cannot tell you how deeply painful this all is. We see it in the course of humankind. We have put ourselves in a position where we are governed strictly and entirely by people who have no intentions of love, no intentions of a higher authority that is love. It is government. It is local, national government. And people in general, who in my world up here where I live, don't do their jobs. I find it very rare that people can do their job or do them thoroughly. They just don't care. And that lack of care leaks into our society and leaks into people's lives and hurts them. I have dozens of examples of this, but I'm not going to do it here on the radio. But there you are. Happy? You're happy with what you have, but you want more? You're not grateful for what you have? And have you ever considered that maybe what makes you happy is hurting you, retarding your ability to spiritually awaken? Oh, I'll bet not. I bet you your spiritual awakening is not of any real concern to you at all. That's the way most people live. What is on there? I don't know. I just want, you know, my pizza and my soap operas, and I want to be left alone just to do whatever I want. And that's the big American thing. I want to be able to do what I want, what I want, what I want, what I want, what I want. Really, that's all it's about? That kind of mind is up to no good, I can tell you that. And it's filled with all sorts of difficulties that create really ugly things in this world. So you have to decide how far you will go with the meaning of your life and whether or not you ever find any authentic significance. Significance is only found, Cheryl, in love. Not in what makes us happy or getting more. And I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful questions, all of you. Thank you. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope you will forgive me. Namaste.